Welcome to the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
It's Indiana.
Watford for the win! Yes! Yes! Unbelievable!
Your daily home for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
Welcome to Indiana basketball.
Smart takes the shot! And the Hoosiers with 3 seconds. Go ahead.
Indiana wins the championship. Keith Smart is the hero.
When my time on Earth is gone and my activities here are past, I want they bury me upside down and my critics can kiss my...
Now here's your host, Matt Dennison.
It's Indiana, what I feel is the pinnacle, the absolute pinnacle of all of college basketball.
And hello, welcome in a Thursday edition of the program live from our Big X studios in Jeffersonville. So very glad to have you with us. Ton of things to get to today. Not all of it is positive news. Of course, this virus continues to affect sports. And yesterday, we each Wednesday carry the updates, the announcements for the week from Governor Eric Holcomb from an Indiana side of things. And Indiana's going to go backwards, essentially, no longer in stage five, not necessarily going back in the scale that we built up to five with, but there's going to be some additional restrictions and some governance that's been put out, and it's going to become more of a county-by-county thing, it looks like, based on the positivity rate and a formula that has been set to look at each county. And that is going to affect high school basketball. I don't think there's any way around that. Yesterday, in fact, Governor Holcomb immediately addressed, as one of his bullet points, attendance at winter indoor events, K through 12, extracurricular activities limited to 25% capacity for counties that are in the orange zone. And right now, Floyd County is in the orange zone. Clark County is still in the orange zone, but they are half a percentage away from going up to the red zone. And the state requirements, of course, this can all be superseded by local health departments, so we'll talk more about that later. But the state requirements are 25% capacity. You can figure out what that would be for your favorite school or the school maybe where you plan to attend some games this winter for those in the orange zone. And for a red zone, the state recommendations are limited to attendance to participants, support personnel, parents, and guardians. So really locking things down. And that's essentially, even though Clark County is still in orange as of now, essentially what they've been doing with some of these early winter sports that are already underway. I mentioned the girls' basketball game the other night at Providence. There were nothing but immediate household members allowed to that event on Tuesday night. And it looks like, according to a release we got yesterday from Dr. Yazel with the Clark County Health Department, that Clark County is going to continue that same policy where they are really going to limit things at winter sports events that are played indoors. And that is going to greatly affect high school basketball. We saw earlier this week, I don't think I mentioned it on the show yet, but for example, Clarksville was supposed to host New Albany the night before Thanksgiving, one of the very first boys basketball games of the season. Good to see those two play again. Kind of a good early season game to see local teams compete before New Albany heads off to play Bloomington South after Thanksgiving. That game was supposed to be at Clarksville. It's been moved to New Albany. It'll still be treated as a home game for Clarksville, but New Albany's gym is so much bigger, and the attendance regulations in Floyd County as of now, not near as strict as Clark County, so more parents, more fans will be able to attend, more space to spread out. And so you wonder if the regulations were to stay as they are, with Clark County being very limited, and Floyd County at this time, again, that could change at any time, having a little more flexibility, will you see some games that are scheduled to be played certain places be moved? So that they can have more fans and more parents and more family at the games. We know how important boys basketball is in the state. In fact, yesterday I'm trying to find the quote here. This is from Governor Holcomb. He said, quote, "High school basketball and other extracurricular sports and activities are among our most sacred events. It's our heritage, by gosh, but we will need to limit attendance at winter K through 12 activities in counties with orange and red metrics." And that's what we were talking about, the 25% for orange and the very limited attendance for red. But again, as of now, Clark County choosing to keep a very limited attendance for this upcoming winter, for now, for the foreseeable future. But Floyd County is a 2 on the scale. Clark County is a 2.5 on the scale. The seven-day positivity rate for Floyd County, 9.23%, which is up. The positivity seven-day rate for Clark County, 11.03%, which is also up. To be a Orange County, you've got to have a score of a 2 or 2.5, which Floyd County has the 2. Clark County has the 2.5. And once you hit a red county, that means you've got a score of 3 or higher. And I think I counted 9 or 10 counties right now in the state that currently have that red threshold. The nearest to us would be to the west a few counties, Perry County. They are currently at a 3. Get this, they have a 7-day positivity rate of 21.34%. And there's a special alert that's also been added to that county, which kind of, I think, underscores what Governor Holcomb was talking about yesterday. It says the county, talking about Perry County, has been flagged due to a large number of the weekly cases being attributable to congregate settings. So that would be a high school sports event, some sort of setting where there's a congregation, a large number of people there. So taking some steps backwards, unfortunately, I don't think anybody's really surprised, because as I talk to athletic directors and coaches, everyone is treading very lightly. Glad that girls' games have started, even if it's limited attendance. Glad that boys' practices are underway. But I think everyone realizes that this season is going to, you have to tread very lightly as we get to the boys' season. And remember that this is going to be a different year, unlike anything else that we've ever seen. I think you're going to see games moved. As far as the date, as far as the location, I think you're going to see games canceled. You're going to see teams that are out for a period of 2 weeks or so. If the team is one member of the team, the coaching staff has COVID-19, the rest of the team will have to be quarantined. I think it's going to be absolutely a crazy scenario this winter when it comes to high school sports. And you could say that for college basketball as well. The one difference with college sports, obviously, is the testing. They have the finances, the ability, the rapid test, to almost test every day if it gets that bad to that situation where it's needed. And some of those schools are already doing that or testing every few days. And so that's why we've had people this week say, don't be surprised if games like Indiana and Tennessee Tech or some non-conference games get canceled, because if a conference is going to put all this effort system-wide into doing certain testing at a high level, or very rapid test every other day, every day, whatever it comes down to, and they all have announced what their plans are for now, but that obviously could change. Why would you risk playing someone that maybe doesn't test on a regular basis or can't afford to test on a regular basis or doesn't have those availabilities at their school? So again, regardless the level of sports, from college down, for things not played in a bubble, everything's up in the air. I think it's, you know, we're going to see a lot of crazy instances this year. Let's take a look at today's show lineup. It's a service of Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. Segment one, we have our Zaxby's headlines, a summary of the day's top IU and Southern Indiana sports news. A ton of things to get to, and we'll do that in just a moment. Logan Duncombe has signed with Indiana. No surprise there. We've got a number of recruiting notes, including a new scholarship offer. We will tell you about that. This is a 2021 out-of-state player, so more coming up on that here in just a few moments. A couple college commitments across the state, I think, of interest. Obviously none to Indiana, but I think these players are interesting names to listeners. And a couple other football notes in our headlines coming up here in just a few moments. Also, later in the show, Alex Bozich of Inside the Hall. He'll be with us today for an extended chat on IU basketball in segment two, coming up a little bit later in the show. That's the guest lineup, the show lineup, a service of Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. Don't forget to check out their new dinner package deals that are now being offered. You can dine in, you can take them to go, and curbside service, it's still available as well at Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. Let's take a look at our Zaxby's headlines, a summary of the day's top IU and Southern Indiana sports news. Don't forget, love to hear from you. Thanks for your questions, your comments. I'd say the number one thing I've heard about this week, still a little Trey Kaufman discussion. I get questions about that, but mainly, when is the schedule going to come out? And so for everybody asking that, we've talked about it so much, I hate to continue the discussion when we have our great IU-oriented guest on the air, but it's got to be soon. It's got to be any time. The other high major conferences are out. The ACC was the most recent. The SEC came out as well. I think the Pac-12 was the first. We're getting to the point where the Big Ten is on the table in a big way, and I still think you'll see it this week or early next week. I would be surprised if we don't have, let's just say, if we don't have something Tuesday of next week, I would be extremely surprised, and I think a lot of other people would as well. But send your questions. Send your comments. Love to hear from you. You can tweet me at Hoosier Hills, all one word, Hoosier Hills on Twitter. You can also follow me there for a lot of different stuff. And you can email the show. The address is HoosierReport@gmail.com. Again, HoosierReport@gmail.com. Let's get into these Zaxby's headlines, a summary of the day's top IU and Southern Indiana sports news. Yesterday, Logan Duncombe in the afternoon made it official for Indiana, the lone member of the 2021 class for now. He signed his scholarship, his letter of intent, and Indiana, of course, then could release the obligatory release that confirms he now is officially part of the program. And, of course, once that's signed, a coach can talk about a player publicly. Until that point, you never hear coaches talk about players when they verbally commit or tweet anything or put anything on social media. But when they sign, it's a different ballgame. And so here's what Archie Miller had to say about Logan Duncombe, and I'm not going to read the full thing. It was a couple paragraphs, but he said, if you asked me to describe Logan in one word, I would say winner. Logan comes from one of the best basketball programs in the Midwest in Archbishop Moeller High School. The coaching staff at Moeller, led by head coach Carl Kramer, who, by the way, we've had on this radio program before, prepares their players for the demands of college basketball as well as any high school program in the country. As a starter at Moeller, Logan has helped lead his amazing team to a 55-1 record, winning a Division I state championship in Ohio as a sophomore and a number one state ranking as a junior before the season was canceled. As he enters his senior season, Moeller is nationally rated preseason number 8 by Max Preps. In addition, he played on an Indiana elite team that was recognized as one of the top programs in the country. Logan's winning mentality also translates in the classroom as he is ranked near the top of his graduating class. Logan is a throwback front court player. I like that. Logan is a throwback front court player with a relentless work ethic and a genuine love for competing. He is an elite runner in the open court with an exceptional feel for the game. He also craves the physicality that he will encounter in the Big Ten. I'm extremely excited to add Logan to our program and look forward to coaching him. I want to thank his father, Brandon, his mother, Erin, his sister, Nolly, and for supporting Logan in his decision to become a Hoosier as he chose Indiana over some of the top basketball and academic institutions in the nation. Archie, pretty long-winded there. Normally you get a couple sentences on a recruit, but again, with Logan Duncombe, he gives a couple paragraphs, and those are strong words for an incoming freshman for next season for Indiana, their lone member of the 2021 class so far. And the reason I say so far is because we know Muhammad Aminu, there's some movement with his recruiting. Indiana appears to still be in a pretty solid position with him. Mason Miller, obviously someone that's really risen as far as where he stands with Indiana at this late point in his recruiting as well. And yesterday, Stock Risers reporting that Archie Miller and the coaching staff virtually met with a player named Mustafa Amzil and offered him a scholarship. He's a four-star senior, and Mustafa Amzil, a member of the 2021 class, 6'9", 215-pound power forward. He attends First Love Christian Academy, which is located in Washington, Pennsylvania. So there you go, back to Pennsylvania, the Archie Miller and family connection to that state. He has some other schools. I think I saw DePaul is one of his favorites at this point. So I'm not sure that he has the high majors in on him as much as maybe what other players do. Dayton, Boston College, Georgia Tech, I think Illinois has recruited him on and off throughout his career. So another name to add to the radar, and Indiana probably making some arrangements in case Muhammad Aminu and Mason Miller, some of those recruitments don't go their way. Also in the state of Indiana, there was a couple commitments over the weekend, or recently, I should say, from players that stand out. Jalen Blackman, obviously the younger brother of a former IU player, committed to Grand Canyon to play for Bryce Drew. There's an Indiana connection there as well from Valparaiso, former coach at Vanderbilt, who's now at Grand Canyon and building a pretty good program there, it looks. So Jalen Blackman, also one of Indiana's high scorers as he gets ready for his senior season as well. There had been some interest from Indiana, especially when he was younger, and it was kind of unsure exactly what level of a Division I player he would be. But that's a good get for Grand Canyon. And then also an interesting commitment to Bellarmine. We've said if Bellarmine, I feel like it's so important for them to stay relevant with Southern Indiana players and be able to keep some of the top players close to home. And I mean from here all the way down to Evansville. And really, Indiana, I think, as a whole, will be a big part of Bellarmine's success, as it has been in the future, especially now that they're at the Division I level. But they got a commitment over the weekend from a player named Kurt Hopf, H-O-P-F. He started his high school career at Forest Park. Then he transferred to Bar Reeve, a power in 1A basketball. He missed his junior season. He was denied a transfer request from Forest Park to Bar Reeve. His, of course, travel basketball was very limited this offseason as well. There was a time where Indiana was tracking him. I remember Forest Park played in the team camp on the IU campus for a couple summers when he was a younger player. But Tuesday, he committed and signed with Bellarmine University. So a big pickup for Scotty Davenport and Bellarmine, as they will continue, I'm sure, to recruit Southern Indiana very hard, as they now are a Division I program and playing their games at Freedom Hall this season and for the next couple years. Also, a Big Ten football note, college football. This is going to be the craziest weekend, with games being canceled and postponed because of COVID-19 situations and positive tests on some of the team. On some of the teams playing the SEC schedule. If you look at it, what are there, like two or three games left that are being played at this point? There have been a number of cancellations in that conference. Some of the big games this weekend are off the slate, canceled or postponed until later in the year. Thought we were going to make it to the weekend with a full Big Ten slate now that Wisconsin is playing again, but the Ohio State-Maryland game, we found out, has now been canceled. There have been 8 Maryland players test positive for COVID-19, the Maryland Athletic Department put out on Wednesday. This game will not be rescheduled, and of course, again, it's just one Big Ten game off as we stand for this weekend, but a number of games off in college football this weekend. Every time you see a Big Ten team like Wisconsin and now Maryland, Illinois had some small issues, you always go back, at least I do, to who they played last week. Because if the positive tests were found out Wednesday or, say, late Tuesday, were they infected when they lined up and played against their opponent on Saturday in most cases? So you wonder if it affected another team and if we'll find that out here today or tomorrow or before the game on Saturday. Also, this is interesting because Indiana will play at Michigan State, and then next up for them is number 3 Ohio State. So Ohio State's going to get an unexpected bye week this week because of the Maryland game cancellation. And so that's kind of interesting to think about as well. Also, a recruiting note, college football coaches are expected to continue to have a dead period in recruiting extended to April 15th. That's going to basically keep coaches away from recruits for over a year. If you go back to when this dead period was initially put in place, so basically at the start of the pandemic in mid-March, maybe late March, it actually went into place. But the Football Oversight Committee, they've recommended this dead period be extended to 3.5 more months to April 15th. It was the deadline was January 1st. That obviously has been pushed back now. And basketball, it sounds like, are also the Basketball Oversight Committee also recommending a similar dead period extension through the end of their championship tournaments, which would be sometime in the month of March or early April. So it looks like recruiting, as we know it, as far as players going to campuses, coaches coming to high school games, high school practices this winter, this season, that's all off. And maybe we'll see it come back in the spring when some of the travel ball opportunities return in April, or maybe we won't. But this has been a very unusual time, not just for sports, but for these high school student athletes that are trying to figure out what they're going to do if they have opportunities to play at the next level, making decisions basically through Zoom. I mean, that's how it's being done. Zoom and FaceTime, video chats, video visits, tours through the campus being done that way. Coaches have had to get awful creative during this time to keep players engaged and really make them feel like they're connected to what's going on with their specific program. One other quick note, actually two other quick notes. Eric Hunter at Purdue with the basketball team sidelined 6 to 8 weeks after getting hurt Monday at practice. That's according to Matt Painter. I bring that up because a number of injuries right now in the Big Ten Conference keeping players out this season, or at least through the start of the year. Then somebody just sent me this. Jeffersonville High School announced just earlier that they are going to keep e-learning, distance learning, in effect through the end of the semester because of staffing constraints all surrounding the COVID-19 virus. And, of course, Greater Clark announced initially that Jeff would be suspended from in-person instruction for a week starting this week because of staffing issues, but they've now extended that through the end of the semester, which I believe is early December. They were already scheduled to go to e-learning later in November before Thanksgiving, stay on e-learning through after Thanksgiving for a week or so, and then have an extended holiday break and not bring them back to sometime, I believe, in late January. So not a huge change there, but Jeffersonville going to e-learning a little earlier because of staffing issues surrounding COVID-19. That's a look at our headlines for this Thursday edition of the program. Don't forget high school girls basketball tonight. I'll be at Brownstown. That's where New Albany plays. We'll be on the air at 7:10 with our pregame coverage. You can find it on 1450 AM, 96.1 FM, and of course streaming online at BigXSportsRadio.com. Alex Bozich of Inside the Hall is next. This is the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
We're back on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison. Join Matt daily at 11 a.m. and 3 p.m. for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
I'll handle this the way I want to handle it now that I'm here. You f***ed it up to begin with. Now just sit there or leave. I don't give a f*** what you do. Now, back to the game.
Here's Matt Dennison.
All right, back here on this Thursday edition of the program, Alex Bozich of Inside the Hall with me, and we always talk IU basketball with Alex when he joins the program. I want to start with recruiting 2021 class. Logan Duncombe made it official for Indiana yesterday, signing his letter of intent. We got the statement from Archie Miller with some great praise for this player. And I know for IU fans that are concerned about where this 2021 class is at right now, Indiana is involved with some other key players. They do seem to have a pretty good standing with Aminu Muhammad and Mason Miller. We saw a new scholarship offer go out yesterday to a player in Pennsylvania. But no matter what happens from this point forward, Logan Duncombe will be the anchor of this class. He's now been committed for some time, and it's clear that he's got the body, the build, the physique, all the things, the talent, all the things you need to ultimately be successful down the road in the Big Ten Conference.
Yeah, he's definitely, I think, a big part of the program moving forward. A guy that Indiana really kind of identified early as someone that they wanted to bring into the program, and did a really good job with his recruitment and wrapped that commitment up last spring. And now that he's signed, I think people are a little bit more excited. You know, with recruiting, you know, you're always following kind of the next class and the classes down the road, but it doesn't really become real until you actually – you know, get the letter of intent and then look forward to the kid getting on campus. And Logan Duncombe is a kid I think that's going to really develop over, you know, his 3 or 4 year career in Bloomington. He's someone that doesn't seem to really have completely scratched the surface of his potential yet. He's moved up significantly in all the recruiting rankings after a really strong summer, albeit very limited due to the pandemic. But yeah, he's somebody I think that can really help going forward in the front court. Maybe not somebody that comes in and starts from day one, although next year, depending on the depth, it may be necessary for him to play a big role from day one. But he's a really good player, I think, to have kind of already signed and coming to Bloomington. And then Indiana's going to have to look for the rest, kind of the pieces, and fill it in here as we go during this uncertain time with recruiting.
Alex Bozich, Inside the Hall. What did you make of the John Rothstein tweet this week about Trey Galloway, that maybe he could be a potential starter in his freshman season, according to sources he has in Bloomington from the wing for this IU team? I think we expected Trey to play a role. I think that came up last week in our segment with you, but I'm not sure I saw him as a starter this year with what else Indiana has back. What are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, I mean, obviously he's entitled to whatever opinion he's being given. I don't know if that's coming from Archie Miller or somebody on the staff or where exactly that's originating from, but I assume that that's good information. I would be a little bit surprised if he's starting. You know, we talked last week, Matt, definitely think he's going to have a role in this team. It could be a pretty significant role, but I'd be pretty surprised just based on what Indiana has coming back, the experience, particularly in the backcourt. And to me, it was, if he's starting, it's not necessarily something I think is a bad thing, but I think it would be a little bit concerning from a standpoint of, are the other guys really not developing as people had hoped? Because you kind of look at the depth chart of this team, and I don't really see any scenario where I look and say Trey Galloway was somebody I was expecting to be a starter going into the season. So we'll see what happens. You know, you hear a lot of different things in the preseason, different things are thrown out there, and ultimately most of it is forgotten and doesn't come to fruition. So I'd be pretty surprised that if he does start, but I definitely think he's going to have a role and play a lot as a freshman.
Talking with Alex Bozich of Inside the Hall, let's get in more to this upcoming season. Trace Jackson Davis continues to knock down a lot of national honors. We saw this week he was named to the preseason All Big Ten team. None of this is a surprise, but it is a reminder that as big of a season as he needs to have, as capable of having, as Archie Miller wants him to have since he made the decision to return to Indiana, he's going to be the focal point for these other teams, for these IU opponents and their defenses to really focus on him. And they started, and that happened last year obviously as well, but it's going to be even more so the case this year. So I think Indiana fans are excited obviously about having Trace back, but you wonder if he's ready for what's going to be thrown at him from all these opponents as they try to stop him, Indiana's anchor, first and foremost.
Yeah, I think he's going to be just fine. I think he's going to be a lot more comfortable than he was last year. I mean, last year there was a ton of pressure placed on him, and he had to come in from day one and be a huge part of kind of what Indiana was doing. And I think that's going to continue to be the case. But now that he's kind of got a full year under his belt and an off season to kind of look back at his first year, look at what he did well, look at what he can do better, and kind of anticipate teams are going to adjust to him, and he's going to have to make adjustments. He's still a young player. He's not going to be perfect night in and night out, but, you know, you look at him in terms of just the Big Ten at large, and I don't think there's any question he's one of the three or four best players in the league entering the season. Now he has to kind of play up to that potential. You know, nothing is decided by preseason lists or preseason accolades, which he has gotten many of, but I think he's a level-headed kid that's going to not really worry too much about what people are saying about him or where he's being projected by this or that. And he's going to focus on just getting better as a player and having a successful year. I know a lot of the Indiana players still kind of have a bitter taste in their mouth based on how last season ended. They were likely going to the tournament. They didn't get a chance to play. And they want to play this season. We all know it's going to be different. We all know it's going to maybe have some starts and stops that aren't anticipated. But I think, you know, if Indiana is going to have the season that many people think it can have, you know, Trace Jackson Davis has to be front and center leading that charge.
Alex Bozich, Inside the Hall. Big Ten schedule, it's been a constant talking point and one that we continue to be asked about. I know you as well. I would just be absolutely floored if we don't have something today, tomorrow, Monday, Tuesday of next week, wouldn't you?
Well, I thought it was going to be the first week of November, and here we are. It's, November 12th, and we don't have anything. It's not unique to the Big Ten right now that the schedule, you know, there's some other major conferences still that don't have a schedule out. And, you know, the one thing about the Big Ten is with football being the way it was, they got a late start compared to many of the other major conferences. We're kind of behind in that regard. Now, I don't know if it's exactly the same people that are working on the schedules. I'm assuming that it's not. But as a conference, their focus was really getting this football season off the ground and getting it going. And some of these other leagues have been ahead of them in that regard. And so, you know, it's going to have to be flexible. I'm a little surprised that we don't have a definitive non-conference schedule for most of these schools either. I don't think any Big Ten school has released a full non-conference schedule to this point yet. Indiana, we know most of the games, but there's still, I think, a little bit of uncertainty as to what one of the games. And I think a lot of that's because the conference hasn't given kind of the full guidance on when the games are going to be. Are games going to be played earlier in December, as has traditionally been the case. Are they going to try to go ahead and just get all the non-conference games out of the way before switching to conference-only games? We'll see how it all kind of shakes out. But yeah, we're getting down to, 13 days now before the first game? I mean, hypothetically speaking, Matt, 2 weeks from today, we could be having this conversation recapping Indiana's first game of the season against Tennessee Tech, assuming everything goes as planned. But things, as we've seen with college football, I saw an interesting stat that I think 15% of college football games this year have been impacted in one way or the other by COVID-19, whether that being canceled or postponed. So you look at how many college football games there are, it's a minuscule number compared to college basketball. And so we're, you know, if we are going to have a situation in basketball where there's that many games that are impacted, we've already seen, you know, a major conference team have their season opener in Miami, Florida postponed due to COVID. We're going to have to be kind of just, you know, on a day-to-day basis with all of this, because the likelihood that games are going to be postponed, canceled, moved around is very high. And, you know, even if we have a schedule, the chances of it being played as exactly as it's released whenever we do get it are very low. So we're just going to have to kind of, you know, play it by ear and see what happens. I mean, I definitely want to see the schedule just to kind of have something to kind of look forward to. But at the same time, we all have to realize that the chances of it kind of going as exactly planned are very low.
Flexibility obviously will be key. We've said that over and over again for everyone this season, from the schools, the players, coaches, even the fans, which I know it can be tough sometime. But I'm sure, I've got to believe, when we see that Big Ten schedule, that they are going to really pad things and leave some openings for things to be shifted and moved around. I think the idea of trying to get some in December, not just the normal two that we've seen the last few seasons as far as conference games, I think that's a wonderful idea. I'm not sure if they'll leave. You don't want to be down for too long if you're healthy and can play, because you want there to be consistency to what you do and to your schedule and to your practices and your preparation. But I just wonder if they won't leave some different holes on certain weeks or weekends or four-day periods, maybe. Not just one or two, but spread out throughout the season so things can be shifted and moved there, because I think you're going to see flexibility in the schedule as well. I think we know it's coming.
Yeah, I mean, I think the thing specifically to the Big Ten that you have to look at and say, as bad as things are right now, kind of just in terms of the sheer number of cases in the country, I mean, you can look anywhere and the cases are going up, but you look at the opportunity that they're going to have to kind of, after Thanksgiving, at least in Indiana, and I know a lot of schools at this point are talking about, you know, kind of not coming back at all for most students onto campus when the winter semester begins. And in Indiana, I think that there's no students coming back until at least February, and that, who knows, that could be extended. But I think you have to look at that, like, for Indiana basketball as a positive thing, because the less people that are on campus and the less people that are potentially around the team gives them the best chance of getting games in, especially home games in Bloomington, because if the team can just kind of be in their own little group and not have anybody else around them, that's going to give them the best chance to stay healthy and complete games. Because, you know, if they're out on campus and being around kind of other students, then obviously they're putting themselves at risk. And, you know, the concerning thing, I think, about all of this, and the question that we really don't have a firm answer to, and whether it's going to change, is, you know, you look at the game I mentioned between Miami and Stetson getting postponed. Well, that postponement was announced yesterday, and that was 2 weeks away from the game. So if any positive case for a team is going to result in a full 2 week shutdown, there's very little margin for error. You know, we talked about earlier, you know, the minimum requirement is 13 games, but all of a sudden, if you're only scheduled to play 27 and you get two or three of these shutdowns, I think it becomes hard to get 13 games in. So that's one thing I'd like to see a little bit more clarification on, specifically with the Big Ten. If they're doing daily testing and they have a player turn up positive, but the rest of the team continues to test negative for, say, 7 to 10 days, I would hope that there's going to be some flexibility for those players to be able to get back to action sooner rather than having to, you know, sit out for that long a time.
Yeah, no question. Talking IU basketball and some of the scheduling issues as we await a full schedule and a Big Ten schedule for this Indiana team with Alex Bozich of Inside the Hall. AP poll came out earlier this week, and no surprise at all, a ton of Big Ten teams included. I think it was seven. And then Indiana was, if you counted up the others receiving votes column, Indiana would have been number 30 in the preseason Associated Press poll. Not much to say because we've discussed already and we know how good the Big Ten's going to be. Great players, really good coaches. I think it's just going to be an unbelievable year for the conference. And the preseason AP poll just underscores what we've been talking about.
Yeah, I mean, having eight teams in the top 30, you really, really can't do much better than that. I mean, seven in the top 25, if you want to just to consider that. So, you know, there's obviously going to be increased expectations for Indiana this year, but the reality is that based on past performance and based on how good this league is, picking them seventh in, or eighth in the league in the preseason is probably the right call. Could they outperform that? Yes, but they also have to come out and show that they're improved in some very key areas. To me, this team, if it's going to meet its potential, is going to have to shoot the ball a lot better than it has. It's going to have to take care of the ball a lot better than it has. I think the defense is steadily improved over a significant period of time now with Archie Miller. I think there's a better understanding, a better comfort level with kind of what he wants to do defensively. But we still just haven't seen it click with any consistency offensively. And if Indiana can't make a sizable game there, I think we're going to kind of see them stuck kind of in the middle of the pack because the teams at the top of this league are really good and they have certain things about them that they're able to do at an elite level. You look at Iowa, they're not a good defensive team, but their offense is one of the two or three best in the whole country. Wisconsin is an elite defensive team that's very disciplined, that takes care of the ball. Michigan State has an identity in that, you know, they have a Hall of Fame coach and that they have a system that they work every year and they're built on, you know, toughness and rebounding and things like that. Indiana hasn't shown a consistent identity yet under Archie Miller. I think he wants it to be defense, but unless it's going to be an elite defense, you know, a top five defense in the country, the offense has to make significant gains, I think, for this team to reach its potential. So that's really what I'm going to be looking for as the season tips off. But no doubt it's going to be a loaded Big Ten. You got, as you mentioned, seven teams in the top 25, Indiana kind of at eight. The eighth team there, if you look at the others receiving votes, at number 30. But it should be an intriguing year and a lot of fun to watch Big Ten basketball.
And with as good as the conference is going to be, we know that. It's amazing to think that if things go as planned, even without seeing the schedule, if we see that Tennessee Tech game happen and potentially another game somewhere on the non-conference schedule against a mid or low major opponent, if the Maui Invitational in Asheville, North Carolina happens as we expect, there are really very few preparation opportunities for the conference, let alone for big games. I mean, it's not just Indiana. This is many, many teams jumping straight into the season with without a warm-up game, without a Tennessee Tech game, even in some cases. I can't imagine what coaches are doing and how stressed they must be as they're coming down the stretch to the start of the season, trying to really get their teams ramped up and doing some inter-squad stuff, I'm sure, at practice some to see where they're at, figure out rotations and starting lineups and different roles and things of that nature. I can't imagine getting to the actual season and not having three or four warm-up games. I know at times Indiana's opened up against a really big opponent, but they always come back to some warm-up type games, some bye games as they're now called in college basketball, where you're paying a lower major team to come to your place and basically get beat, and it gives you the opportunity to experiment and warm up and get used to each other. Those just aren't going to exist very rarely in college basketball this year for high major teams.
Yeah, it's going to be tough too for coaches because you know enough about college basketball and college football for that matter too. These coaches are in many cases control freaks. They thrive on a routine. They thrive on knowing kind of how to prepare on a game-to-game basis. And all of a sudden, if the schedule starts getting thrown off and different things start coming, there's going to be an adjustment period. I mean, coaches are used to setting up their schedule and hand-picking certain opponents to play against different styles, to compare, you know, to prepare against different kind of systems. You know, a lot of times you'll see younger teams
maybe schedule light to try to get younger guys experience, and more veteran teams will play, you know, a more ambitious schedule to kind of, you know, just get prepared and get ramped up to, for a tough conference season. Well, all that's kind of out the window now. It's basically just who can adapt on a week-to-week basis, on a game-to-game basis, and be ready to go regardless of the circumstances. And I think more than ever, I think coaching is going to be important this year. I mean, health is obviously important. It's the number one thing, having guys available to play, being able to play games. But how can a coach navigate a season this uncertain? I think ultimately when there is a champion crown, you're going to look back at that team and say, you know, they had a really darn good coach that kind of got them to this point, was able to kind of keep all the distractions at bay and kind of, you know, just prepare the best you can and be ready for twists and turns. Because, you know, I think ultimately what we're going to see, Matt, and we've talked about this a little bit, particularly in Big Ten play, there's going to have to be a lot of flexibility with the schedule. Because, you know, if teams are getting shut down, I think the other teams are not going to want to just shut it down too, that they're supposed to play for 2 weeks. You know, they're going to be, I think, some opportunities that's going to have to be set up for teams to kind of move things around and play different games if they have to. That'll be all dependent, obviously, on the league office. But basketball is a little different than football, because football, you know, they only play once a week. But basketball, I think there's going to be a chance to kind of move things around a little bit. And that's another thing, you know, if you're scheduled to play Wisconsin, but then all of a sudden on 2 or 3 days notice you're going to play Michigan State, I mean, you got to be able to prepare. And in a lot of ways, that's going to be helpful to teams that are, you know, gearing up for a tournament run. You have short prep in the tournament, and that's a lot of times kind of when coaching stands out, is when you have a leader that can really kind of be ready to go on short notice. So we'll see how it all plays out. I'm just from a, you know, I'm hoping for the best, but I'm also pretty fascinated just to see how it all plays out, because college football's already been a pretty wild ride, and I think basketball is going to be even wilder.
Yeah, no question. Final question, Alex. I wish I had printed this or saved this, because I wanted to reference the conference specifically, but one of the major conferences I saw, because of the concern that games are going to get moved and canceled and that teams may not play the exact same number of games, I mean, it's depending on your luck, your health, and your luck of who you're playing and when you're playing them, you know, teams could play considerably less games than other teams, even within the same conference. To make it fair, to be able to crown a conference champion, they went away from the normal standings to crown the champion, and they went to some sort of win percentage. They had a couple things. Mm-hmm. I wish I had it in front of me, but win percentage was one of them.
I saw that too.
Yeah, and it was a smaller conference. It was a mid-major conference, I believe. But that's interesting. You wonder, will it get to a point where and let's hope it doesn't. Let's hope that we're being just a little negative here. But will it get to a point where there have been so many games moved and some canceled, and maybe they just can't all be made up, that the conference champion has to be crowned on some different formula? I mean, it could get to that.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think coaches and schools are going to be that concerned about Big Ten or, you know, or regular season conference champions as they are going to be to getting that minimum number of games. I think it's 13. So you're looking at it as a coach, I think you got to try to, you got to get to that minimum, because what we see now with Wisconsin, I think with Wisconsin football, I think the minimum was set that in Big Ten football, you have to play 6 games to have a chance to play for the conference championship. So if Wisconsin, I think if they miss one more game, their season in terms of competing for a Big Ten championship in football is effectively over. Could they still go to a bowl game, which I don't know how much interest there's going to be in bowl games this year at all. Fans can't be there. And really, in many cases, with that, besides the playoff, they're glorified exhibitions. So that's a pretty big deal. So in basketball, it's going to be the same thing. You're going to basically want to try to get to that 13 number. And then anything else you get beyond that is going to be, I think, gravy. And, you know, if I'm Archie Miller, I'm not necessarily worried about a Big Ten standings or championship. I just want to get the number of games that I – and the number of wins that I think I need to get to have a chance to play the tournament. Because one thing I am confident about is when it comes time to actually play the tournament, and I would be, you know, obviously we have no idea what's going to happen, but I'd be pretty surprised if they don't do everything in their power to play the tournament, just because how much it means to the NCAA from a revenue perspective. But, you know, once they get in the tournament, the environments are going to be completely different than what we saw in the regular season, where, you know, the NCAA doesn't control the regular season in college basketball. But when the tournament comes, it's going to be controlled environments. The testing is going to be, in my opinion, state of the art. And they're going to do everything they can to have that thing go off without a hitch. So basically, it's going to be try to survive the regular season, get to the tournament. And then after you're there, I think it's going to be hopefully smooth sailing. You know, there may be some hiccups and different things like that, but I think they're going to do everything in their power to make the tournament look as normal as possible.
Absolutely. Alex Bozich, Inside the Hall. Check him out, InsideTheHall.com. Lots of great stuff on IU basketball there. And, of course, you can follow him at Inside the Hall on Twitter. Alex, thanks for the chat today. We'll do it again next Thursday.
Absolutely, Matt. Thank you.
We'll head to a quick commercial break. We'll come back and wrap things up for this Thursday edition of the Hoosier Report. Stay with us. This is the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
We're back on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
Let's win this one for all the small schools who never had a chance to get here.
Join Matt daily at 11 a.m. and 3 p.m. for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
Let's win for Coach. You got us here.
Here's Matt Dennison.
And we're back. Quick segment to end this Thursday's show. A couple programming notes. High school girls basketball tonight on the Big X. Pregame coverage at 7:10. Tip-off of that game at 7:30. The game is New Albany on the road at Brownstown. Again, in girls basketball tonight. We've got some additional girls games coming up early this season as well. A couple more next week and even more following that. So stay tuned for the schedule for girls broadcast. With limited attendance, we want to be out as much as we possibly can. And so we were at Providence on Tuesday. We'll be at Brownstown for the New Albany game on Thursday. Also, next Tuesday at 6 o'clock, we have one of our Night of Champions show honoring Providence Boys Soccer, the 2020 IHSA Class 1A State Champs. That show will air Tuesday at 6 o'clock. You'll hear from some of the Providence coaches and some of the key players as well. We always have a Night of Champions program when we have a local team bring a state championship to our area. And so that's what we're doing with this Night of Champions program coming up on Tuesday of next week at 6 o'clock, presented by Frank H. Monroe Heating and Cooling. Don't forget girls basketball tonight, 7:10 airtime. And I'll be back with you also tomorrow at 11 a.m. for our Friday edition of the program with Dylan Wallace of Sports Illustrated Indiana and Kyle Neddenrip of the Indianapolis Star. This is the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.